We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and our subject today is how do you walk back after a fight? How do you make up? So, I think we quoted last week from Rav Shlomo Zalman, that he eulogized his wife. He said he has nothing to apologize for, right? We discussed that. And he said we had fights, but we always maintained a certain level. So how do you make up after a fight? We first have to understand what happens during a fight and what should not happen during a fight. Okay, so the first thing that shouldn't happen during a fight is you shouldn't get violent. Now that seems obvious. I mean, even if she does something which can be construed as violent, meaning even if she smacks you across the face, so you feel like, wait a second, she crossed the line. Most instances, I shouldn't say most, I'm sorry. There are a substantial amount of instances where the husband is sued for being abusive, when in fact the one who actually started physically was the wife. Women will make this mistake, unfortunately, where they feel like if they did something physical, such as pushing the husband, standing in his way, blocking the door, not letting him pass, jumping on him, or smacking him, or anything else, they don't feel like that's being violent, or physical, or abusive. Because what'd she do, right? I'm saying from her perspective. From a guy perspective, you smacked me. Wait a second. Okay, if this is fair grounds, now what? So the answer is no. You have to be a gentleman. You can tell her, you know, you crossed the red line and this is wrong. You have to know that there's one thing that you do in a fight that carries tremendous weight by a woman, much more than a man can perceive. There's one thing which you can do that is like putting a knife in her heart and turning it around, and that is to walk out the door. You guys, I'm serious. Yeah. When you walk out, so by the male understanding, I just took a breather, enough. You know, we're yelling at one another. Let's time out, right?
So she smacks you across the face and you walk out.
That's a no-no? So, no. Okay. Then I think she deserves it. You know, if she smacked you across the face, walk out. But you have to understand the weight of what you just did. Meaning, in a woman's mind, you walked out of the house, that carries a tremendous weight. It's much more than in a man's mind. In a woman's mind, it's like, how could he do that to me? So is our marriage over? Does he ever plan on coming back? It's like, she doesn't begin to grasp the... It's so enormous in her mind when you walk out the door. Men tend to underestimate the weight of that move. Meaning, I've seen more than one divorce where I think that the divorce was rooted in the man's walking out, which she interpreted that way. He didn't mean it that way. Very often we don't see it that way as men, but they hear it that way. So this is one of the big mistakes that men make in a fight. They walk out. And it's not an agreement. And even if it's an agreement, it's a curt agreement. So that's not an option. You might want to try saying, why don't we go for a walk? I suggest that sometimes couples should go outside because then hopefully outside they won't yell at one another. If that's not going to work, don't yell publicly. Better yell indoors than outdoors. Even if your neighbors are all hearing, it's still better indoors. There's still something more right about yelling inside the house than outside the house. But I'm just saying there's one mistake that you can't underestimate, and that is the walking out the door.
Your neighbors could hear you, that's just as public.
So that's why I'm saying it is a difference. Because when your neighbors hear you and you're yelling in the house, it's none of their business. When you're yelling outside, what you've basically said is, I have no privacy and I'm taking all my laundry outside. It's one thing if I hang my laundry by my window and people look inside and see my laundry. So they shouldn't be looking. It's one thing if I'm yelling and my neighbors hear me. I don't have noise-proof rooms. What can I do? But it's quite another thing if I walked outside and yelled, and then I obviously have no shame, or I don't care at all to shame my wife. You know, that's a totally different world. I agree, if you know your neighbors are listening, if you see your neighbors watching, you shouldn't be yelling where they could hear, you know, close the blinds, close the windows, and it's no one else's business. But there is a world of difference. So if it helps a couple that they'll have that external pressure to behave, to have a normal, serene conversation, so sometimes it's beneficial to have the conversation outside. But if it's not going to help, so then, okay, so then they're better off inside. So, again, this was all introductory. We have to know a few rules about having arguments. There is a philosophy that many espouse, and that is that you should never go to bed with a fight. I don't know. I don't know how that works. If that can work for people, I'm all for it. I don't know how to advise on it because I don't see how it works. To my mind, very often, a huge factor in the fights that couples have is the fact that they're overtired. And then they can't go to bed, and then they sit there at 11 or 12 at 1 and 2, and they're still upset at one another. And what? They're not going to resolve it right now because they're too upset. They're too overtired. Let them sleep on it by the next morning. Even if they're upset, they'll be calmer. The night passed. You know, it's easier to make amends. So I don't recommend that because I don't know how to implement it. Going to sleep? Yeah, it's different. You're going to sleep at home. You're going to sleep at home. You're still going to sleep at home. So that's another point. There's no reason you should sleep on the couch. There's no reason she should sleep on the couch. It's enough that we have the laws of family purity, and sometimes the beds are together and sometimes they're not. No one has to be exiled from the room. And it's a wrong move. People sometimes do it, but it's wrong. Sometimes the guy will go sleep on the couch or in the kids' room. Sometimes the woman will go sleep in the kids' room or on the couch, and it's wrong. I mean, there should be that holy of holies called the bedroom where the couple is together. And even if they don't want to talk to one another, and even if they don't want to touch, and even if they don't want to be intimate, they should still be sleeping on the same bed. And very often, just the fact that they're on the same bed is going to end up bringing the peace between them. There's a calming factor, and it should be there. One of the strengths, one of the reasons that marriages can outlast other relationships is because you got nowhere else to go. You're coming back home. I don't like it when people say, I have a sofa at work. I'm not going home tonight. No, not after that. That's a problem. You got to go home and face one another and deal. That's one of the blessings of the home, that you do have to deal. And when things are rough, you're going to deal with one another. And eventually you'll reach the peace. And you build the relationship that way. When you have an escape route, when you know, I'll tell you a story. Okay, I can't tell you the figures involved, but big figures. Okay, a couple gets married, they have a child, and the husband is the leader of a certain community, and the wife is holding the baby, and the baby's crying. And the wife comes to him and says, you know, we have to wash the floor. And he says, that's not my job. And she says, okay, so you hold the baby so I could wash the floor. So he says, if I hold the baby, then I'm the one washing the floor. My job is to do my job and your job is to do your job. You wash the floor when the babies come and don't bother me for holding the baby to wash the floor. She says, what? Grabs the baby and goes to her father's house. Leaves the house. She leaves. She's all upset. She goes to her father's house. She comes to her father's house. And her father says, what you doing here? She says, I married a brute. You know, look at how he's behaving me. He can't even help me with holding the baby. Her father says to her, you wanted a husband who was a giant. I got you a husband who's a giant. Every second of his life is precious. And you see that's how he uses his time. He doesn't waste a second. You wanted a giant, you got a giant. He's right, you're wrong. Go back home. And next time you need to wash the floor, call me. I'll hold the baby, but don't bother him. Now, if the father would not have said that, and I think most fathers today would not say that, I don't know what would have happened with that marriage. Because if she has a place to run to, there's a problem. I recommend that couples not live too close to the parents. Because the nature of marriage is that there are sometimes arguments, and you'll work it out this way or that way, but if you have an out, if you can go so easily to your parents' house and spend the night there, or spend the afternoon there, if you have that escape, So then, goodbye. You know, I have another life. So, in truth, we need our separate lives to a certain degree. It's unhealthy when husbands work at home and they're home all the time. It's very hard on the marriage. Even if you don't have a job, get up and leave the house. You don't belong at home all day. Marriages can rarely last that constant in your face with one another. You're best off if you don't know how your wife does things. You don't want to see that after she changes a diaper, she doesn't have time to wash her hands before she starts cooking your meal. You're better off not knowing that. You're much better off not knowing that. You're going to know that. You're going to leave the noodles. I'll be okay. I'll eat at work, right? There are certain things you don't want to know. You're much better off not knowing. You're much better off not knowing that the child can wail for 15 minutes because she had to go to the bathroom and you don't know it. And you come home at night and you deal with what you see. You can't live with her seeing all of your wasting time and surfing the web. This is what you do at work, right? And she can't live with you seeing everything she's doing. Yeah, marriage was not built for the two to be home all day together. No marriage can work that way. Yetze Adam Nefaolo. The verse says, man goes out to his job, to his work, to what he has to do in life. And then he comes home at night. You don't belong at home all day. And people make that mistake. They think, we're all lovey-dovey, it's great. Nope. Even if you have a job where you're telecommuting, get an office. Get a little machsan, you know, a little basement. Rent yourself a little 4x4 nothing and work there. But don't be home. Rent a shed, rent a closet, I don't care. Don't be home. Marriages run into huge problems when the two are on top of one another. So it is important for you and her to get out. But not to have that type of escape where I have another bed, I have another house I can go to, I have where I can escape this marriage and goodbye. I don't have to deal with you. No, I have my job, but I still have to deal with you. We do have to deal, and that's what forces us to make it work. And it forces concession, and it forces understanding, and it forces growth. It's not easy. You know, you'll often wish in marriage that you had that escape hatchet. But the fact that you have to make it work, well, that's what makes marriage great. And that's what makes marriage grow, because you got to face and deal. I want to add one more point, just because we're short on time. I know you guys have a lot of questions. We got to at least get one more point in. There's a certain weakness that plagues our generation. I have a friend who got married in his 40s. So the guy, he had already experienced a lot of life. You know, he wasn't a kid getting married. And we met once when he was married 4 or 5 years. And they had initially had many challenges. They couldn't have kids initially. And they went through a lot together. And they were an excellent, excellent couple. Really, you know, you saw the two contending with life beautifully together. And we were once talking, you know, we had this like 15-minute break between Mincha and Maariv, and we're sitting and talking, and he tells me, you know, I know that marriage is about consistency, and I know I'm very lucky to have my wife, and I know that the best thing that ever happened to me in life is my wife, but you know, every time we have a fight, the first thing that comes to my mind is, what did my dad do when he had a fight? He left the marriage. He left the house. My father got divorced very early in my life because when there were problems in the marriage, he left. So as much as I know that what I want in life and what I need in life is to build my life with this person, I can't help it. And every time we have a fight, my first thought is to run. And I can sit here and tell you I know it's wrong and I know that's not the way it should be, but the default, the bottom line is, every time it comes back to haunt me. There's a fight, and my first instinct is, I don't need this. I got another way out. I can manage. I can have a good life without her. My first thought is, get out. And unfortunately, in our generation, many people have that backdrop to their scene in life. Either they come from broken homes, or the fact that society has accepted divorce, and couples speak about it so freely, and people entertain the thought so freely, so that's become a great handicap to marriages. It's very hard. Whereas marriage is built through consistency and through real dedication and through the mutual knowledge that we're both in this through thick and thin, today it's very hard. It's very hard because of the general situation and because it's very hard not to have that in the back of our minds. But you can't have that in the back of your mind. It's about making this really happen and work long term, even though it's going to be very tough. Yes.
On that note, are you saying it's better for a couple to stay married and stay fighting? You say they're not going to change. They're not going to go to a group like therapy session. They're going to remain fighting. Is that better than being divorced?
I think that that question has too many nuances to give a general answer to. I think that there are many instances where couples take divorce too lightly, and I think that couples underestimate how many fights every couple has. I think that most husbands think they're the worst off husband in the world, unless I just happen to luck out, and the couples I've been meeting, it's been hundreds and thousands already in the last decade, they happen to be the only ones who think that, but I tend to think it's a trend where almost every husband will tell you how he's the worst off, and he for sure doesn't have to put up with this because she's absolutely crazy. She's off her rocker. No one would put up with a woman like this. And then you have the women who will tell you about their husbands, but it's a greater trend among men to view their wives that way, which, by the way, feeds on itself. Because if I married a quack and I don't have to put up with the quack, so then you understand I'm going to have much less patience for this quack. The second I view her as a quack, there's no reason for me to have patience for her. She's crazy. She's stupid. She's an imbecile. She comes from a family that has no ethics. She comes from a family that doesn't begin to understand what it means to have patience or be polite or whatever. You understand? The second you start labeling your spouse, which is what very often happens, so then you have even less patience. You have less patience, she becomes a bigger quack. She's a bigger quack, you have less patience. And the cycle keeps going. But, again, this is too general. I think that there are many instances. I would venture to say at least 50% of the people getting divorced who feel that they're fighting so much they have to get divorced, they're in error. They could make it work, and I would say it's more than 50%. And even if they didn't make it work, it's not as bad as they think it is. If they'd view it differently, then they'd see it's not as bad as they think it is. I definitely think there's a large amount of people out there who could have a much better life, and they don't need to get divorced. They could have a much better life together, and even the life they're having now, as bad as they think it is, it's not so bad. I'll give you an example. People very often get caught up in the now. Couple comes in, or a husband calls, doesn't matter, and says, how could I be with my wife? What's wrong? She cursed out my parents, and she told me that my mother's a lowlife, and she said a whole bunch of nasty things. I can't look at her anymore. So I asked him, if you wrote her a letter, if you said to her, I love you and you're wonderful, and I look forward to continuing building life together. I want you to know that what you said the other day about my mother really hurt me, and it really bothers me that you said that. How do you think she'd react? So he said, if I wrote her a letter, then she'd probably apologize. And if she apologized, would you be able to work with her after that? Yeah, I could. It would be hard, but I could. Ah, so you have a problem that's resolvable. Yeah, but right now I can't look her in the face. I'm too upset at her. Ah, so then the issue is that right now my feelings are so potent that right now I'm not willing to take control of my feelings, even though in the long run I could resolve it. Most couples, if you take specific issues and you say, can you resolve this issue that right now is driving you crazy, they'll say, yeah, in the long run I believe this issue I can resolve. So then why are you being nasty to your spouse? Why are you saying this marriage can't work? Because right now this issue is really bothering me. I'm not saying it's always the same issue. But what happens is couples focus on, this is driving me crazy now. And if it's driving me crazy now, this marriage can't work. That's not fair. slowly you'll be able to resolve many of the issues. And you might resolve them in 3 days and in a week and in a half a year. But you could resolve them. But right now it's driving me crazy. So right now I can't deal with it. No, deal now. You have to go home and you have to deal. And if you realize you have to go home and you have to deal, you make it work. I'll give you another example. But class is over. Goodbye. Whoever wants to go should go. I'll give you another example. There was a couple where... I'm making up half the details anyways. The key to the story is real. Everything else I make up so no one can put together who it was. So the wife is off her rocker. And wherever they go, she's making scenes and she's got a temper and out of control. So the husband calls me up and he says, you know, we're 3 days before Pesach. My parents are supposed to come for Pesach. I'm cleaning up like crazy and I'm cooking and I'm shopping. But how am I going to have my parents over with her behaving like this? She's out of control and she's cursing me out every second. And my parents are going to be here and they're going to see us. What am I supposed to do? So I said to him, I guess you're supposed to cry and say it's such a pity that we could have had a nice Pesach. And you're not going to. It's going to be a miserable Pesach. And I think you should spend the next 3 days crying. So he said, Rabbi, you're joking. I said, why? What's the solution? It's going to be miserable. It's going to be terrible. And so you have to decide that that's just the way it's going to be. So I'll get you a pack of Kleenex and sit there and cry for 3 days and spend the Pesach with your parents crying. And that's life. So he says, nah. I said, why not? So he said, nah. You have any better idea? I said, no. Any better idea is going to involve more work. The simple route is sit and cry. So sit and cry. Don't do anything else. No. What can I do? I said, you know and I know that if you really wanted there to be peace in the house, you can make her happy. But you're not willing to make her happy because you want her to be happy on your terms. And she's only going to be happy on her terms. So if it's worth it for you to have a nice Pesach, so bend your terms and make her happy on her terms. But if it's not worth it for you, so let's close the book and let's say, fine, we're going to have a miserable Pesach. You're going to be miserable. She'll be miserable. Your parents will be miserable. So let's reach that bottom line now. You decided you're going to be miserable, and let's do it. Fine, be miserable. The guy says, no, I don't want to be miserable. I said, yes, you do, because you're not willing to put in the work to do it on her terms. So he said, okay, so what am I supposed to do? So I said, you know better than I do. I don't know the issues, but I'm willing to guarantee that if you stop and think, and you tell yourself, I'm willing to give in on everything just to make it a nice Pesach, you'll be able to make it a nice Pesach. But it's up to you. Are you willing to do it on her terms? The guy called me up after Pesach and told me he had the nicest Pesach he had in his whole life with his wife and his parents. The nicest Pesach. They were married 15 years. He told me it was the nicest Pesach ever. Now, 3 days before Pesach, he's calling me up telling me he's not sure. Should he cancel his parents? His parents don't have Pesach preparations yet. What should he do? You know, how can you do this to his parents? His wife is such a witch. How could you do this? If you're willing to work on her terms, you can make the house beautiful. The issue is you want her to work on your terms. So that's what I'm saying. You know, couples look at things and say, this is impossible. It's impossible if I'm standing on my terms. If I say she should come to my turf, work it my way, and then we should have a beautiful marriage, then it's impossible. The second I'm willing to be flexible and work on the spouse's terms, we can make it beautiful. And again, when couples feel like they have an interest, somehow they can make it work. And they can. And I'm not exaggerating. In this case, the wife... her psychiatrist gave up on her. I'm saying this was like a real extreme case. Her psychiatrist said, I can't give her any more medication. She's crazy. There's nothing I can do to make this work. Right? So it was like really extreme, right? And still, the most beautiful Pesach ever. It can work.